All right, after that failed attempt to get started, I will now call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, January 10th, 2017, and ask if everybody please join the Board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you again. Good morning. I hope everybody's traveling safely as they're out on the roads this morning. I know that a couple places in Ames that I was coming over were a little slick. First item on our agenda, as always, is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address topics on today's agenda. If there's anybody wishing to do so, please come on up. And seeing no one moving the microphone, we'll move on. Next item is discussion consideration of funding from Story County for the Inclusive Playground and Miracle Field. Trisha Kane and Drew Camp, come on up. Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. So we are before you today to discuss the wonderful project that we have underway in Story County for Inclusive Playground and Miracle Field. I am present to give a little bit of background information on the project. I believe it'll be 2 years ago this June that myself and Jennifer Ellis with Friendship Arc Homes called Keith Abraham, our park and rec director with the city of Ames, to discuss the importance of having an inclusive playground and miracle field in Story County and in the city of Ames. The ARC itself serves well over 200 adult Special Olympic athletes. We have seen that many other communities, larger communities around the state, had inclusive playgrounds and miracle fields. And for me, I felt that for all of the wonderful accolades that Story County and the city of Ames have for being a place to retire, the place to live, the place to raise your children, that we should have been ahead on this, and instead we were behind the eight ball. 3 years ago, I thought we were trying to do something special for Story County. However, I no longer feel that way because so many other communities have bypassed us with their projects. So at that point, we did go down and tour the city of Ankeny projects and their inclusive playground and miracle field, which is really the Taj Mahal as far as structures are concerned, and kind of got the ball rolling. We then myself and Keith met several times and brought in some key community leaders to get the project up and going, to get their support. We've met several times. We very, very closely looked at every single park in Story County and where would be the best option for the project to be located. As you know, sadly enough, we picked Ines Grove Park, which is wonderful and it's the place it should be, but sadly enough, we were met with quite a bit of resistance from those community people that live near the park, which really set us back by several months. So we're at a point now where we have received some instrumental funding from the city of Ames to get us started on the project. An RFP has been sent out for design services. Our goal is that we hit the ground running with fundraising in 2017, with the project being implemented in 2018.
And then just to give you a little bit of background on kind of the description of what the project looks like tentatively, we don't have any final plans. As Trisha said, we're already out for bid now at the city for design processes. Once that process is done and the design is completed, one of the stipulations in passing the Parks and Rec Commission and the City Council unanimously was that it go back to the Parks and Rec Commission and the City Council to get additional review and have additional public input, because we knew that it was going to be very important to make sure that the design was approved by both and that the public had an opportunity to engage in that discussion as well. And that's something we've wanted all along, and that's something we're going to ensure by going back through the Parks and Recreation and the City Council with the design process. But just to give you an idea of what we're looking at, there's a space in Ines Grove. The total park right now, about 50% of it is green space. And with the addition of this park and all-inclusive playground, you're going to be looking at about 46% of it still being green space. And in the space where the field will be put, it actually used to be a baseball field. Chris Nelson, during the Ames City Council meeting, reminisced about how it used to play baseball at the exact location that we're talking of putting this field. That's what this area was meant for. That's what it was at first. Even with the building of the parking lot, the playground and the field, you'll still have about 2.5 acres of green space in the space that we're going to be putting this. So that's something that we wanted to make sure we ensured as well. Another big reason, too, just to touch on why Ines Grove was such a good decision, was that parking was already in place. And with that parking, the stormwater management system was already in place. We already know that if you have to do new parking and new stormwater management, that can be extremely expensive extremely quickly. So we wanted to make sure we got into we located in a park that not only was in a good place visibly, which Ines Grove is as a premier community park, but also had the parking. It has over 100 parking spots already. And then also with that parking, had the stormwater water retention. But the biggest thing actually was the fact that they have in their capital improvements plan to build a bathroom that's going to be made compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act. And that right there, believe it or not, is about $250,000. So that is a significant investment right there that the city's going to be making, and it's already in their capital improvement plan at Ines Grove Park. So not only was it a good location because it was a premier park, very visible for a field such as this that we wanted to make sure had that visibility, but there's also certain things in place there that are going to save a lot of money for the project as a whole. And that kind of brings me to the impact point and why we really wanted to make sure we could bring it here. And I know Tricia can talk a little bit about the impact of the field and the playground.
Right. You know, Ames is known for the services that we have for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. I myself know so many families that moved to the Story County area just because of the wonderful services, including the residential services, the day program, and the transportation that we have offered. As I said earlier, we have over 200 just adult athletes alone that would be able to use this space. We have ChildServe and LSI who have serve over 500 children with disabilities that would be able to use the space as far as therapy services for their day programs. The city of Ames is using the Miracle Field for regular adult programming at night for kickball that has come out of the woods from the 80s as being a premier sport to play. So we know that this is something that will be accessed on a daily basis by so many people. Right now, we have so many friends and service providers here that take their people and their children down to the facility in Ames, or in Ankeny, and they have to carry their kids away kicking and screaming, because even for people without disabilities, it's a wonderful place to be. We met several times with the city of Ankeny staff in regards to how they developed their project and did the fundraising, and they said, you know, it's not even about the children with disabilities, but it's about parents with disabilities also that can finally interact and play with their children in an inclusive environment. We see this as being a regional draw. Ankeny talked about that they have people who come from Waverly and Webster City and Fort Dodge and Iowa City to come and play on their Miracle Field and on their inclusive playground. And so those folks will be coming to Story County and to Ames to be doing the exact same thing. So we see this not just being a Story countywide, but also a big regional draw for people who live in surrounding communities.
And just to kind of piggyback off that, just for some numbers, for example, there's about 3,500 children with disabilities in the Polk, Boone, Dallas, and Story County area that could potentially be using this field. In Story County alone, the number is about 800, and that's probably a little deflated because you don't necessarily have a solid number, because not all individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities are actually using services and therefore recorded in that number. So that's something we know will have a big impact on that community. And one of the big things that we're really happy with, too, is the membership of our steering committee. We have a lot of expertise on there, whether it's Jim Mason, who's our chair for the steering committee. He has a lot of experience, obviously, with landscaping and bids and doing things along those lines from Country Landscapes. We have Amber Corrieri from Mainstream Living. We have Tricia Jay Leto from the Iowa State Foundation, who has a lot of experience in fundraising. He's really helping us with that. Myself, Dana Bernard, and Mary Chrissy, who have children with intellectual disabilities. And then Jody Melcher from Kiwanis, because Kiwanis is always really involved in these projects. And then also Sheila Lunt, who can really provide some good background as her past experience as assistant city administrator. So we have a really solid group, and we have a lot of people who are passionate about it, and that's one of the things that really drew me to it. I'm really fortunate to work in an organization at the Ames Chamber that my boss and our culture really promotes working and being philanthropic and giving back to the community. Whether it's Dan being the campaign chair for United Way of Story County this year for their fundraising campaign, or Amy being on the Salvation Army board, or Ron being on the Mary Greeley board, Mary Greeley Foundation board, or myself being involved with this, or being a mentor to a student at Kate Mitchell Elementary. We really foster that belief in the chamber, and that's why when they reached out to the chamber, the steering committee did when they were forming the membership, they knew they wanted business involvement. And when you think of business, you think of the Chamber of Commerce. So when they reached out, the first inclination was to look to me because they knew I had a personal passion for this. My mom has worked as a physical therapist and served individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities for over 30 years. So this is something that I'm very passionate about. So it was a natural fit for me, and that's why I was kind of selected as they looked at who should be involved from the chamber and the business community. They thought it was a natural fit for me, and I've been really happy to work with the individuals on there because, as you can see, we have a really good group. We're already at the point now, as we start the new year, that we're looking at fundraising. And as we look at fundraising, we have a far-reaching kind of apparatus we're looking at and categories that we're looking at. We have individuals, but we're also looking at grants. We're looking at Prairie Meadows, which is due this month. You can do upwards of $1 million with their legacy grant. We're looking at the Story County Community Foundation, Community Attraction and Tourism at the state level, United Way, Rotary, Roy Carver, Alliant. There's a litany of other organizations that we're looking at that can help fund. We are leaving no stone unturned in that regard, but we're really making sure that not only are we reaching out to individuals so there's that community buy-in, but we're also reaching out to public organizations and also nonprofit organizations through their fundraising apparatus. And as we kind of look at the $1.5 to $1.7 million fundraise, we've kind of come to the conclusion that what we were hoping to ask the county for was about $150,000 over the next two fiscal years, spread out $75,000 this fiscal year, $75,000 the next fiscal year. Mm-hmm. And with that, unless Tricia has anything she would like to add, I would open it for questions from the board.
Yeah, so thank you. Great presentation. I really, really appreciate you guys' efforts on bringing what I think is a much needed component to Ames and Story County. My question would be pretty simple. Where are we with the City of Ames? This is going to be a park that's going to be owned by the City of Ames, run by the City of Ames. Do we know where they are in terms of their contribution level? And then flipping that and talking about Polk County, and I think there's two in Polk County, one in Ankeny and one in downtown Des Moines. Tell me how those were funded, if you know, and specifically what Polk County's involvement was in those two.
Okay. Well, Ames, they haven't set a concrete number. There was kind of a casual conversation at a council meeting that was by no means binding. It was just a number that was thrown out, and that's something they need to discuss in their own budgeting process. But the number that was mentioned at a meeting discussing this project was $150,000. That's where this number came from. And the reason that we decided to go the same was when you look at Polk County, when they did their contribution for the Ankeny project, they did the same thing as Ankeny decided to do. They had a partnership there. They both gave $75,000. So that's where we were at the Polk County level. Each gave $75,000 to the project.
Okay.
Do you, for the one downtown in Polk County, the Kiwanis actually funded that originally, but I'm not aware about how much support the county or the city gives to that now. Do you have an
Well, Seth, or Principal Park currently oversees that park.
Okay.
It is not an inclusive playground. It is just a miracle field. And that is just used about 12 weeks out of the entire year. It's double fenced. It's locked up. It's not open to the community like our park is going to be. So I don't know what. Right, it's managed by Kiwanis. They're the ones that open it up on the 12 Saturdays a month or a year that they use it, and then it is supplemented by Principal Park staff as far as overseeing it. And it really is, it's a much different project.
So Ankeny is more comparable.
Right.
And then what about Urbandale?
Urbandale has put in an inclusive playground. I don't know that it included a miracle field.
I'm not positive.
I don't think it did, but they did put in an inclusive playground.
Marty, questions? Is this going to be a lit field that would be used in the evening?
That is still up for discussion. Our steering committee and most of the park commission members, or I think all of them, want it to be lighted. The park and rec staff definitely want it to be lighted. They would not vote on it at the city council meeting. There was one city council member that only wanted to pass it if it was not going to be lit, and the other city council members would not agree to that. The city council members seeing the benefit to having lit lights, we decided to turn it over to the design process because those people can litigate that with the neighbors that have issues with the lights. But because the Miracle Field is so much smaller than a normal field, the lights are much closer to the ground. And when you're around that field, we're hoping that the community members or the people living near the park will realize that lights will not be an issue.
And one thing to note, too, with the lights is Musco Lighting. They do an in-kind contribution for these projects. I believe it's a half. They'll only charge a half of the price to do the lighting there. So there, it's obviously worth considering as you look at the design process. It'd be kind of almost negligent not to have that included in the design process if you have that resource there.
Is this 1.5, 1.7 reflect lights? Or okay, so that was built in. Mm-hmm. Very good, then. So
I'm thinking through practically how. I think the first thing I would say is there is plenty of precedent in Story County for the Story County Board of Supervisors to support at some level a project like this. I'm trying to think through the mechanisms. So we just started our budgeting process. Yesterday was our first day of budget work sessions, and so we're just starting to dig into what it looks like for FY18. Drew, I'm going to ask you to take off your Miracle Field and Inclusive Playground hat for just a minute and put on your Story County Economic Development hat. Do we have a mechanism currently where any of our towns could apply for county support with a project like this?
I could see the school districts doing that, yeah. Well, using the urban renewal area applications, they could apply for something like this. We have precedent there with Colo Community School District doing that over a two-phase project. In the first 2 years of those applications, they were able to apply to get some equipment up at their elementary school in Zeering, and then also to kind of do some work around that equipment in Zeering, which is right next to Dakin's Lake, too. So it's an additional draw there. So that's something there has been precedent for recreational projects of that sort.
First of all, I'm going to declare that I am a member of Kiwanis, okay? And so I have had conversations with Jody Melcher about this. My Kiwanis group has gone down and worked at the one in downtown Des Moines to help. We all volunteer down there. So, and then also to declare that the Kiwanians in the Story County area have already made a commitment to help fundraise for this. So I just want to make it clear that my conflict may be that I may be selling candy bars or something to help to help fund this, okay? I support this. I support it very much. I'm uncomfortable with it being considered as an economic development tool. I understand, though, that that may be a way that we can free up funds for it, but I don't like playgrounds in general as being economic development tools, okay? So I'm hoping that in this year's budget, wherever we settle on, that there would be funds available out of the general fund. And I also, going forward, would like to see us not look at using TIF funds for this, all right, because I don't like that precedent.
Sure. Yeah, and so, Morris, my conversation, and I really appreciate your points, mine is simply that, as my grandma would say, you can't get blood out of tournament. You know as well as I do that our initial request for budget has $40.5 million in expenditures and $38.5 million in revenues. And there is no way to suggest that that is sustainable longer term. So when we look at a project like this, I think it is incumbent upon us collectively to look at every possible funding source. Whether you like it or not, if it's a possible funding source, I think we've got to consider utilizing something that is set by precedent and have the full conversation, because if there's not dollars available, it'd be great if the general fund was healthy enough that we could just dip in and say, oh yeah, let's do this project out of there. May not be there this year. And so I would hope you would agree with me that we need to, if we're going to support something like this, and I'm with you there, we got to look at all possibilities for how we could possibly fund that.
The context between Colo Nesco getting a new playground, where there are limited opportunities right now to even help them from a practical economic development standard, and coming into Ames,
are vastly different. And so while you talk about precedent being set, I think we need to take everything in context.
Absolutely.
Oh, I have a question for Drew and Tristan.
So let me address your point and then you ask a question. So I'm not saying that utilizing that urban renewal tool is the right way to go. I'm suggesting it's a possible way to go. And all I'm trying to get to today is would we consider everything in front of us, like it or not like it, because you go down and you want to free up dollars in the general fund. Okay, that's great. As I look at our budget right now, I don't see $75,000 in freed up general fund dollars at this point. And so I would probably come down similar to you are on the urban renewal side, say, boy, that's not something that I have comfort in. And for today, I don't think either one of those things are necessary. I think what's necessary is can we get to, yes, collectively, this is something we want to support at some level. What kind of things are we going to look for before we can decide what level of support that is? And then are we willing to consider all possible avenues? Not saying they're all good.
But this comes to my discomfort here a little bit. You're the one who asked the question. You're the one who brought up funding source today. And you're the one who asked someone to shift his hat. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I just want to point that out. Sure. I'm happy to come back to the core of the conversation, which is, do we support this and will we make an economic commitment? And then we can, in a different council meeting or a different open meeting, debate about where that funds come from. But I just want to point out, you're the one who brought it up. So, okay. So let's move back to supporting it. I guess I already said I support it.
You said you had a question before I cut you off.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you for that. Okay. Is there a possibility of splitting it over 3 years? Okay, Trisha's nodding no. Help me with the rationale.
Just because we need the money to build the park. And our goal is that it will be done by next summer. So with the goal of fundraising in 2017, that's why we thought it was feasible. Because this is mine and Drew's joke, but that we decided it was go big or go home. Drew just didn't want to say that. So
appreciate your honesty.
So that we thought it was feasible to ask for $75,000 this current fiscal year and $75,000 next fiscal year. Just because, right, we need those funds in place to begin the project. Thank you.
And I did want to add, too, you had mentioned precedent. Huxley actually also just got funds last year in the urban renewal area, project applications for a parks project as well.
Yeah, and we spent money in Story City for a appropriated project there.
That was that playground one?
No, I'm not saying playground. I'm saying in park space. Yeah. It feels like it was...
it's for the North and South Park. We're doing the updates to their North and South Park.
Yeah, simply saying park. We approved a park in Maxwell that was the Freedom Rock Park. Again, not an inclusive playground or even a playground. But it seems like there's a pathway to at least consider that. But I think Loris makes a great point. I was looking at all available avenues, and that's the reason I brought it up today. I sure wasn't suggesting. So my suggestion is we are not prepared as a board. We don't have enough information. You guys don't have enough information. Before I can vote to support anything, I'm going to want to see what final plans look like, what the real final cost we expect to be. I think 1.5, 1.7 is a great estimate. But until you get designs back, we don't know exactly what that is. Morris, you asked a great question yesterday, and I'm going to paraphrase, but it basically was, how come everything comes in so much more than we originally expected to come in as? I think it's reasonable for the board to know what kind of project it's investing in, and I'm going to be highly interested in Ames' contribution level, since this is, in fact, going to be part of an Ames City Park, and Ames is the big player in this, right? Their budget is five times our budget. There's lots of different reasons I'm going to be really interested in that. I think what we can get to today, unless you guys are different than me, what we can get to today is a general feeling of support and a desire for Story County to participate. But at what level and how exactly that happens, we're going to have to hold off until we get more information, both internally about our budget and what dollars are available, and externally, I'd like to see a plan. I'd like Ames to be a little more committed than... Drew, I think you said they've thrown around some numbers.
Yeah, like those are by no means binding. I want to make that clear.
Absolutely, and I'd like it to be a little more binding. I'd like to know one of the things we do before we fund these internal city projects is we know what kind of skin the city has in the game before we make a determination. So thoughts from you guys. That's my thoughts.
No, just tapping.
I make a motion that we indicate our support for this project with the level of financial support to be determined later based upon finalization of our budgeting process and seeing final plans.
Well, Governor Branstad's speaking right now, and as we just, you alluded to the fact we just did start our budgeting process, we don't know where the state of Iowa is going to be at, and I think that has the ability to fall out of Des Moines and land here in Story County. They are going to walk back $100 million, and to think that they're going to miss Story County is not likely. So, it is a worthy project. I appreciate your timeline. I look forward to supporting it. Right now, we are a little on the early side of being able to sit there and say, yeah, we are going to be a contributor, but I would suspect that I have the comfort Loris does not have in finding any revenue stream that would contribute to this. The fact that we've done it in other communities in ways that are tangible or close, sufficient to me to say this is, if we've done it before somewhere, we do it again, and this would be something I could support. So I would second your motion.
Okay, so we got a motion and a second. I would just add that I appreciate the motion and the second. I think hopefully it gives you guys at least a half step of what you need, that the county is interested and supportive. We've got to figure out what level as we go. I'd love to tell you guys that every ask you make, you're going to get an immediate yes. I don't think that's realistic. I think that you better plan on coming back several times in order to get this done. I feel good that the Board of Supervisors seems to be moving toward a level of support and figuring out exactly what that support is, and then more from a detail basis, exactly where it comes from. We've got to have those full conversations, because there's not $75,000 a year sitting right here that we just hand out. We're going to have to get creative to figure it out. And so I'm looking forward to the vote on this. Anything else before we vote?
I have nothing.
Olson?
Yes.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Motion passes. We're supportive. We appreciate the work you guys are putting in. What that support is actually going to translate into, we're going to have to decide later. Thank you. Outstanding. All right, minutes. We're not doing minutes right now? Okay. We don't have minutes ready. We'll do those next week for January 3rd. Consideration of personnel actions as listed.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Claims.
I move to approve. I reviewed them.
Yep.
Okay. I'll move to approve, and then I want to have just a little bit of discussion.
Absolutely.
I have a second.
Yeah. All right, motion and second. Discussion.
Yes, I just marked a couple of items on there. Shelley was helpful with me to answer them. One had to do with allocations to the attorney's office for plaques, just confirming that once we allocate your budget, how you decide to spend your money is within your purview, you know, because of the bill total for the ACAP. And then another one that had to do with the $50,000 to the Dakota Access to our inspector. That was a $15,000 bill, and I just wanted to confirm that that was, in fact, a pass-through. That we weren't picking that up. So anyway, thank you. My first time at claims, so that was helpful. Thank you, Shelley.
Well, outstanding. Good for you for going through them line by line. There's a lot of, for anybody who hasn't looked at our claims, and they are available online, it's arduous to go through it line by line. Nice job. Good questions. Shelley, thanks for giving her the answers. Further discussion. Olson.
Yes.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Claims passed. Consent agenda. No additions. How about that? I like that.
That's unusual.
As listed.
I'd like to pull a couple.
Sure.
Okay. I'd like to pull 811. 8, section 8.
Yep, that's
11. Okay. And move that down into the discussion with the county outreach and special project managers work plan for the year.
That seems to fit there.
So 11 is consideration of assistance of Story County Outreach and Special Projects Manager Leanne Harder in developing a disaster recovery plan toolkit to be used by Iowa State Association of Counties as a resource to our member counties. You want that one pulled for discussion as we talk to Leanne later?
Correct, because we're going over a schedule and then, you know, figure out where it fits in.
Any other changes?
Yes, I'd like to pull 12.
Yep.
Just for a brief comment.
Absolutely. All right. I'll take that as a motion with those two changes.
Yes.
I would second that.
Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Claims passed with the noted changes. We're going to hold 11 until we get to Leanne. We're going to talk about 12 right now. Compensation Board, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Sure. I just wanted to thank, first of all, Jessica Reynolds, the county attorney, for helping us walk through that process. After the fact, a board, its first meeting with a brand new sworn-in member and another member 6-7 months on the job, don't always work it out when we're, don't always know what to ask and when to ask it and what to say when we are appointing someone to represent us personally on a very specific board. And so, basically, one of our appointees turns out is already an elected official and so can't serve on this compensation board. So I want to thank the attorney and the Rick, you, the chair, and Marty. So we got it all worked out. Fortunately, the second person doesn't expire right away. It gives us an opportunity to go back and talk about how we're going to vet appointees in the future. So thank you. I just wanted to say that.
Perfect. Any further comments?
No, I actually learned something, too. I appreciate Laura's just diving in on that one.
Absolutely. So, we need a motion for item 12.
I move to acknowledge acceptance of this.
Okay.
I would second that motion.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Done.
Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Acknowledgement of Steve McGill to continue to serve on the comp board. That leads us to public hearing items. And first on that is second consideration of Ordinance 248. Jared.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning,
Jared. This item was before the Board of Supervisors on the 3rd. Two amendments to that ordinance were suggested. Just a little bit of background. This ordinance will be a standalone ordinance separate from the land development regulations. The current process uses the conditional use permit process, which can be time consuming. This will be, we'll have less of a submittal time, less review time, and hopefully we can get requests to the board sooner for action. Permit costs will be less. The current process requires a $275 fee. This will be $50. It'll apply to larger groups, over 250 people. It'll be permitted in all zoning districts. We'll have some exemptions for agricultural type uses, funeral processions. If there's family activities where there's no money exchanged, those will be exempt. The first reading was approved January 3 with two amendments suggested. The first amendment was a suggestion to allow for an extension of the review beyond the 3 business days, provided that the applicant and the county agency or the outside agency agrees to that. The second item was the need to put some language in there about what the penalty would be. So we added some language on that. Again, the permit fee is $50 plus 2 times the permit fee, so $150. And then the following day, we had the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. At the end of the meeting, we had some discussion. We let them know that this was going to come back before them with these amendments. They suggested that for if we have a repeat offender situation, that we have some language in there also, that we have the ability to use the citation process, which is already established in our ordinance, which can be for the first offense up to $750, a repeat offense up to $1,000 if needed. And then staff also mentioned we have something built in requiring the applicants to notify the adjacent landowners, but we think it's important for the staff to do that as well. So we plan to notify within 1/4 mile of the property. So we built that into it too. And then, again, there was a suggestion that we take this back to the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, which would be February 1. So with that, I'd be happy to answer your questions. And at the appropriate time, I've got the motion for you all. So.
Okay. Question for Jared before we open the public hearing.
I received a communication from someone who was at last week's board meeting. I'm going to read the highlights of it because it references another person who was at the meeting, a conversation that they had. And so I just want to kind of paraphrase here, and then I'd just like Jerry to comment on this. Apparently the conversation was, wow, this is going to apply to a bunch of graduations, which hadn't come up in our discussion last week. And it points out that coming April and May when graduation parties start in earnest, that is, I don't see this being workable. People are either going to just not know about it or they don't know whether they should apply because they're not quite sure on graduation parties how many people will show up. We'll go on to talk about how nerve-wracking graduation is. And the end comment is what really is to be gained from 1,000 Story Countyans calling up to report that they have to plan to have a graduation at their place in the same 3 weeks of May. Again, folks simply won't bother, and then they're at risk for a hefty fine. And she calls it a PR nightmare. So can you comment, reply to this, Jerry?
Yeah, if it's a family event, if somebody is graduating in a family and they have more than 250 people coming, if there's no remuneration, this ordinance does not apply to them. But perhaps if there's someone who wants to get into that business of, you know, event planning, then potentially it could, you know, if they're being compensated for it. But anything related to family events where they're not getting compensated for it, the intent is that this would not apply.
So my question, though, would be, although I know this means going through the process of an amendment again, do we put in there that it only applies to events seeking a fee?
There is that language in there about the exemption for family events where
okay.
There's no remuneration.
Thank you. Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Any other questions before we open the public hearing?
No.
Okay. Then I will open the public hearing and ask if there's anyone who would like to address Ordinance 248. Last chance. Seeing no one move into the microphone, we'll close the public hearing. I'll turn to the board for potential action. Before we act, I'll just remind you that what we discussed last week was the possibility of getting through the first two readings, so clearly there were some amendments made with the first reading. The second reading, I haven't heard an amendment. I heard you start to question it. Jerry pointed out that he thinks that language is in there. And then we talked about holding the third and final reading until after the February 7th. So hold the third and final reading until after Planning and Zoning Commission has another opportunity to weigh in and deal with this.
What day would that be, I guess, for us on
February 7th?
February 7th
at the bar meeting.
To come back to us.
All right.
Further discussion. If no further discussion, I would entertain a motion.
I would move to the adoption of the second reading of Ordinance 248 with the previously stated amendments and bringing it back for the third and final reading on February 7th.
I second.
All right, motion and second. Further discussion. Jerry, anything to add before we vote?
Nothing else.
Okay. Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. 248 passes second reading. It will come back for third and final reading on February 7th. Next item is Ordinance 249.
Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning. The next four public hearings deal with proposed changes to the Story County Code of Ordinances, dealing specifically with adoption of the Cornerstone to Capstone Comprehensive Plan, and the proposed addition and implementation of regulations dealing specifically with commercial solar farms. Ordinance number 249 amends Chapter 85, which is general provisions and definitions. I'm going to go ahead and list the four right now because they all build on each other. Ordinance number 250 amends Chapter 86 of the Code of Ordinances, which is our district regulations. Ordinance 251 amends the conditional use chapter, which is chapter 90 of the Code of Ordinances. And lastly, ordinance number 252 amends chapter 92, which is administration. First consideration was held last Tuesday. Today's second consideration and third would tentatively be scheduled for next week. I have not received any official public comment written, or I've had a couple people after last week's meeting come up to me and just say they're very appreciative that Story County was taking a leadership role again and looking at solar farm regulations and building them in like we do with our commercial wind energy conversion systems or wind turbines. With that, I have last week's presentations for the four for separate public hearing items, but I'm going to keep it brief and let you ask any questions.
No comments. Important to underscore that this is primarily updating from our land use to C2C and the language that changes there, and then solar regulations. In fact, those are the only two things that we're making any adjustments on any of these. Questions for Leanne or Jerry before we open the public hearing? And this is, so she addressed 249, 50, 51, and 52. We're only going to do 249 for the public hearing. Questions?
None.
Open the public hearing and ask if there's anyone who would like to address Ordinance 249. Seeing no one move the microphone, we'll close the public hearing and turn to the board for potential action on 249.
I move second reading of 249.
Cool. Set third and final. Waive third and final.
With waiving third and final.
Okay. I second that.
Motion and second. Further discussion. Leanne, Jerry, anything to add?
No.
Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. 249 passes second reading and third and final reading. Third reading is waived, so second reading is now final. 249 is in. Any questions on 250 before we open the public hearing? We'll open the public hearing and ask if there is anyone who would like to address Ordinance 250. Seeing no one moving the microphone, we'll close the public hearing. Turn to the board for potential action.
I move second reading, acceptance of 250, and
wave
third reading.
I second that.
So the motion is second. Leanne, anything you want to add on 250?
No.
Okay. Any further discussion?
No.
Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. 250 passes second reading. Third reading is waived, thereby making Ordinance 250 fully enacted. Ordinance 251, any questions or comments prior to opening the public hearing?
No.
Open public hearing on 251 and ask if there's anyone that would like to address Ordinance 251. Seeing no one moving the microphone, we'll close the public hearing. Turn to the board for action.
I studied through, Marty. You do it.
I'd first like to say thank you to Leanne for looking outside of ourselves as we did with the wind farms. And to do this, I know that she was working on this through the course of the summer and fall. So I would move for the adoption of Ordinance 251 and waive its third reading.
I second.
For the motion second, further discussion. Leanne, Jerry, anything to add? Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. 251 passes second reading. Third reading is waived, thereby making 251 enacted. 252, any questions or comments before we open the public hearing? We'll open the public hearing on Ordinance 252 and ask if there's anyone who would like to address 252. Seeing no one move the microphone, we'll close the public hearing, turn to the board for action.
I would move the adoption of Ordinance 252, waiving its third reading.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Anything to add, Jerry or Leanne?
Nothing.
Chin.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. 252 passes. Third and final reading. Third reading is waived, thereby fully enacting 252. Let's see. That gets us down. So now we move to additional items. Discussion and consideration of procedure for petition to detach property from Rural Water District. County Attorney Justin Reynolds. Justin.
Good morning.
Good morning to the board. My intent was to come today and discuss the future steps that we need to take in consideration of the petition to detach from a rural water district. However, this morning I was contacted by the attorney for Central Iowa Rural Water Association, And their contention is that they are a rural water association, which is distinct and different from a rural water district. I would like the opportunity to explore that claim. I think it would be in the board's best interest if I issue a written legal opinion regarding that. Because if their contention is true, there's really no reason for you to consider the petition. And if it's not, I think it would be helpful to the board to have that legal opinion from me. With my current time demands and trials and other things going on in my office, I am requesting a 3-week extension to issue that legal opinion to the board.
Have you conveyed that timeline to the affected parties?
No, I have not.
Yeah, I think
we're
I
not have. Under a specific time.
Just as considerations. Have you told Al and Jim?
No, this is my first opportunity to discuss it.
Right.
And I'm asking for that time frame, but if the board tells me they want it sooner, I can have that as soon as tomorrow if necessary.
I do see people from Nevada, the Nevada water plant in the back, and I'm just wondering of a time frame,
sure.
If that time frame causes any kind of hardship for them. Since they're here,
sure.
I'll ask them. But other than that, I don't have any questions.
Sure. So I'll ask anybody from Nevada wants to come up and address this. I will say that Al Copler has been in front of us twice regarding this. Jim Friedman was with him one time, and I believe that we made it plain both times, once Lars was with you on the board and once before you were on the board, that there was going to be nothing speedy about this process, and we would much rather, especially since there's no precedent that we can lean on, we'd much rather be right than quick in any of this. Anybody from Nevada want to address timing on this whole deal? Come on up and introduce yourself.
My name is Matt Bartis. I'm the city administrator for the city
Matt.
Of Nevada.
Welcome.
So thank you. It doesn't really affect our timeline. We're just kind of observing the process, so it really won't affect us as far as the city and municipality.
Super. Thank you. I know that Mr. Copeland and Mr. Freeman want this thing done yesterday, and so I'm sure it impacts their timeline. But these kind of things, especially when there's no real legal precedent to guide us, we want to take our time and make sure we're getting all the facts in front of us. Now, I will say this while you're sitting here. It would be wonderful if the city of Nevada and Central Iowa Rural Water could come to some kind of agreement in the next 3 weeks and we wouldn't even have to deal with this.
We can see what we can do. anything further?
That's all. Thank you very
Thank
much
you.
For being here today. All right, board, request from the county attorney to defer this matter for 3 weeks, which, as I do the math, takes us to January 31st.
Well, I need to ask about this, Jessica.
Yeah.
As we see the annexation going forward this year with the city of Ames, dealing with this very same entity, Central Iowa Rural Water, and then they sit here and look at South Nevada in the county, when Ames was able to do, a deal, why is Nevada not able to do it? Do you have any insight or any knowledge or anything? I mean, it's just like you would think that the same argument was being made in one part of the county that does not have currency in another part of the county.
It's a great question. I do not know the answer to it.
To kind of build on that, yesterday in our initial discussion of capital improvement projects, we were talking about the Hickory Grove sewer repairs that need to be done. Just want to let you know that even though that sewer, because Rick was good to point out the difference between water and sewer, that Central Iowa Water seems to be more amenable to working with agreements, at least on the sewer side. So really getting to the bottom of what the opposition is here, I think, will be important if we are asked actually.
Yeah, so my read, and I don't want you guys to take this as gospel, but I've been involved in discussions with Central Iowa Rural Water on both the Ames, on what was happening there on a periphery basis. I was involved in the discussion with DuPont and what ended up happening there. And it seems to me that the difference between Ames and Nevada directly, the city of Ames has never entered into any kind of agreement to provide Central Iowa Rural Water with water. City of Nevada has. Now, it's disputable about where the city of Nevada has agreed to provide water and under what circumstances, but there is that one caveat of difference that then Nevada has at least agreed to provide some water to Central, and that opens up a whole new conversation of are they compatible water sources, but that's a different conversation. City of Ames had never done that, so it was truly a transaction between the City of Ames and Central Iowa Water, and they were truly negotiating a price all the way through. This one appears differently because I think Central Iowa Rural Water is appearing to take the stance that, no, they can provide service, they just need to make sure they access the water. And so it brings up an interesting conversation with us, but that goes to your question of what's different about this. That's what I said.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So
I would have comfort in giving our county attorney the 3 weeks to bring us back. I appreciate the hecticness. That's not a word. The busy environment you have in your office. So I would move. I would give a motion of bringing this back with an opinion on, was it January 31st? Did you say? What is there?
I think January 31st is 3 weeks from today.
January 31st.
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion, second, further discussion.
Would you entertain a friendly amendment just that at the county attorney's earliest possible convenience? I mean, knowing that you're at least 3 weeks, but we did have someone whose wife had a baby during that period of time, too. So if we lock her in 3 weeks from now, I'm trying to extend in case that it takes 4 or 5 weeks. My motion just isn't making much sense, I guess.
Make that motion.
Okay, I move that we amend this from setting the date of January 31st to giving the county attorney the time needed, and she'll bring it back at the earliest possible ability.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then that gives her more time or less time, depending on what's going on.
So do I have a second on that motion?
I would like to see it done sooner rather than later, but I trust that...
No problem. I won't put it off. I will get back to the board.
And I will second that motion.
Okay. All right. So the only thing we're voting on right now is the amendment to the motion. So all we're doing now is changing 31st to 31st or earliest possible convenience. That's this vote. Any further discussion?
None.
Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. So the motion is amended to be, and this is Marty's motion now, amended to be 31st or earliest possible convenience. Further discussion? Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. 31st or earliest possible to me.
Thank you, Board.
Thank you.
All right, so now we're going to go back and we're going to talk about the one consent item that we've still got on the table, and that is consideration of assistance of Story County Outreach and Special Projects Manager Leanne Harder in developing a disaster recovery plan toolkit to be used by the Iowa State Association of Counties. Where is Leanne? Oh, come on up, Leanne. Yeah, absolutely. So this request came straight from ISAC, and it's based on Leanne Harder and Keith Morgan went down and presented to the supervisor's affiliate. Right? Is that right? Presented to the supervisor's affiliate on the work that we've done here in Story County. Other counties were so impressed with where we were going, and there was a multitude of questions coming both at Leanne and Keith, but also at ISAC, of what kind of help is available to counties to be able to do this for themselves. So ISAC reached out to us and said, is it possible, so that we don't go through the process of reinventing the wheel, and you guys have, put the best foot forward, have great staff, that you allow Leanne, as part of her work program, to assist ISAC in creating this toolkit. That's what's come to us. Anything to add, Leanne? Did I do a decent job explaining how we got here?
I think you did. Congratulations. That is quite a compliment. So wonderful. And the reason I had it pulled was only so we could discuss with you. You could let us know where you see it fitting into your very, very filled work plan already.
I have not taken the opportunity to build in a time frame at this point. I think it would require a lot of upfront conversation with Lucas and ISAC on their time frame as well. I do see that sooner rather than later, probably starting in February. Yeah, I'll pull it closer to me. sooner rather than later. But again, Lucas and I have not had a conversation on what it all entails and how soon they would like it delivered and available to other counties to use. That's part of the questions I still have to wrap my arms around.
And my concern is that I want to make sure that we start on some of our communication initiatives moving forward after we've had budget and, you know, discuss a couple of suggestions about how to help her with communications. So nobody knows her work schedule better than Leanne as far as her capabilities. I worry sometimes as I went over her communications plan and also her work program that she's really loaded down.
Can you imagine we didn't used to have anybody in this position?
Oh, I know. You want me to say you were wrong, Laura.
I didn't know I said that.
It was the process, and I still defend and like the process to be different, but certainly this has worked out in benefit to the citizens, okay?
So, all right, absolutely.
All right. So back to that. So I just wanted to have that discussion or be aware that as you were moving forward, you know, on that. With that, I move that we, what do I want to move here? I want to move that we appoint or add to Leanne's duties that she work with the Iowa Association of Counties to develop a toolkit for emergency planning.
Second.
Does that work?
That's good enough. I would second that.
So we got a motion and a second. Discussion phase. I'm good with that. As long as it is very, very clear that it's the expectation of this board that your responsibility to Story County come first, and if you're ever making a decision between getting something done that's part of the communication plan, as Laura's pointed out a minute ago, or finishing off this toolkit tip or ISAC, Story County wins that conversation every single time.
Understood.
Further questions or direction?
None.
Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We'll contact Lucas and let him know that you're available to assist as your schedule allows.
Do you want me to take care of that?
Yeah. Okay, so that takes care of that one. Next item on the agenda is consideration of appointment for Four Mile Creek Watershed Management Authority, Leanne Harder, for an unexpired term. Leanne, start with how we ended up part of Four Mile Creek Watershed, how much of it touches Story County, and what our role is.
There are 16 jurisdictions that comprise the Four Mile Creek Watershed Management Authority. Story County has a small sliver in southwest Story County. Both the communities of Shelville and Slater are included in the Watershed Management Authority as well. And it basically is the periphery of Slater and then to southwest Story County, encompassing Shelville. That is in the Four Mile Creek Watershed Management Authority. Story County signed in onto the 20E agreement a couple of years ago. About a year ago this time, Paul asked me if I would go instead of him. So I have been attending the meetings. And they meet quarterly, similar to the Squaw Creek Watershed Management Authority. Whereas the Squaw Creek Watershed Management Authority is maybe a little bit ahead of the Four Mile Creek. Four Mile Creek is still very active. They did finalized their watershed management plan in 2016. In fact, we'll be bringing our resolution to you to accept that in the next few weeks as a watershed management plan. So,
funding model for the Four Mile Creek was an interesting collaboration.
And there are some, it's a different type of discussion that occurs at that watershed management authority meeting than Squaw Creek.
More technical, more staff driven, true?
It really is. It really is. So there is a watershed management coordinator on board, funded staff through the Polk County Soil and Water Conservation District, but funded through all the entities. I forget, Story County was $150
Was it $150,000 total budget, and we contributed $150?
That amount was based on per capita in the watershed. So definitely Polk County and Des Moines were the largest share contributing towards that watershed management coordinator. And I actually just failed to have this on your agenda for appointees last week, so my apologies on that.
Mm-hmm. All right, questions?
I have none. I would move.
Do you have any questions?
None.
I move consideration of Dan Harder as the representative for the Four Mile Creek Watershed Management Authority.
I would second.
Further discussion? Gee.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye.
Thank you, Ann.
Next item is consideration of staff appointments to the Story County Economic Development Group. Leanne Harder.
The Board of Supervisors approved the revised bylaws for Story County Economic Development Group last fall. They are now in effect. Section 4.06 minutes of the meeting shall say, I'm going to read this for the record, I'm sorry. Minutes of the meeting shall be taken by a Story County Administrative Staff member which shall be appointed by the County Board of Supervisors. So the staff member shall post the agendas, ensure all notes that are provided in accordance with provisions of these bylaws or as required by law, prepare the minutes of each SCEDG meeting, verify their correctness, and file them with the County Board of Supervisors for their approval. And since I am here in the building and am able to post and online.
And in fact, have been instrumental in that group rewriting its bylaws, which were approved recently. I have an intimate understanding of it. Questions for Leanne as far as this appointment?
None.
Okay. I move consideration and appointment of Leanne Harder for an expired term, the Story County Economic Development Group.
I'll second.
And just a note that she will be staffing that, so she will be serving as the staff person to that group. Further discussion? Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Discussion and consideration of the 2017 communication plan. I actually think this one's going to take a few minutes, so we're going to take a 5-minute recess before we get to it.
Oh. I know.
All right. So we will come back into session. We are now discussing the 2017 communication plan. Leanne.
This was first adopted. I just have a few slides. First adopted by the board in 2014. We amended it that year because it was our first attempt at it. It had some changes mid-year. Then subsequently, I brought it back to you. In February, this time I'm bringing it earlier because it does work much better to get these strategies up and going for the calendar year. Stop me at any time with questions, please. But we do intend to have the same target, the same elements remain consistent this year with goals, target audiences, strategies, and action steps. The only changes you do see are the strategies and action steps. And I am, we have the 5 same target audiences: county employees, public officials, general public, media, and then other. Other may include those traveling through Story County, visiting, tourism, whatever that may be. You did have a draft copy presented for today, so I do have this next few slides are all the specific strategies, but I think I'm going to just jump ahead and go to this last one because based from when I put it on the agenda till I guess later Friday, I did have a new picture and a new back. So there, when you get to actually considering it, the draft that's before you, there are actually a possible amendment to have the image on the right, the back page, rather than one on the left for your discussion too. Major and
huge
discussion right there. So with that, any questions?
Repeat that again, please, about the photos. Just.
So instead of the back page on the left, she wants us to approve the back page on the right. And what was in our packet is the back page on the
right.
Left.
Right, and I suggest, yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So that would be one of the amendments that I want to consider.
Okay, so let's just go through this one page at a time. This is the first time this board has had an opportunity to weigh in on any of this. I think this is important information, and I'm sorry that I'm slowing us down, but take us through it page by page.
Okay, page 1 is a historical overview, which I've really kind of just shared already. And page 2 just defined the 5 goals of the communications plan. As I said earlier, these goals remain consistent. Other than some wordsmithing, they really have been modified since 2014. Page 4 is begins the listing and the discussion of target audiences. And again, we're proposing that those remain true this year as well. That continues to page 5. Right, go ahead.
Would you make note that a couple of the little tweaks we made as far as the target audiences or the strategies on this page? For example, revision from KHOI to radio in general?
Yeah, so that starts on page 6.
Oh, sorry.
On the strategies. Oh. No, that was just a good reminder said for Adam about that. So rather than past format or past drafts have included just specifically thank KHOI.
Right.
Because I do go there monthly as schedule allows. We'd like to broaden that and include other radio opportunities so that just it's just broad. Adding, if you go down like three more, the consistent countywide messaging and posters, printed media and signage campaigns. It just said printed media and signage campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure that we have consistent. We have a logo. We spent some funding a few years ago for branding, making sure that we bring that forward then into all the departments and offices with the materials that are designed and presented. The county website redesign and refresh is added to the communication strategies. The next page, page 7, all six of these items are new for this calendar year. Starting with purchasing, design, and editing software. Right now I use Publisher. It definitely does have its limitations. It's a specific strategy that would allow us to be successful in some of the other strategies and tasks that are out there. Increasing the audiovisual presence and production capabilities. We have one camera and one video camera that's shared amongst departments and offices in this building. Sometimes there's some limitations of availability, and then the editing software I have is pretty limited as well. So that's why that's added. As pointed out, in December, this is the 50th anniversary of the groundbreaking in this building, so we'd like to do an event in April. The C2C plan with this adoption is 200 some pages when you include the appendices. We would like to have actually an executive summary that's available for the public, and that would be a communication strategy that we're proposing to build in. And then relating to the C2C plan, there's a specific task for outreach campaigns for Flood Awareness Month and National Preparedness Month. I think those are March and September, or April and September. So that would be added in, as well as the annual online survey for the C2C plan review. And then you'll see these are paid repeated later in my work program.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything in your work program should feed from this. These are the broader-based strategies and the tools necessary to get your work program done, which we'll have that conversation next item.
And then quarterly media coffee talks, inviting all members of media in Story County in to just sit down and get a sense of what's happening, how can we get information together, just really informal discussions. I'm looking forward to those. So those are the strategies. Loris, I don't know if you want to add anything based on our discussion.
No. I think I was very, very impressed when Leanne and I went over this. She's got a clear vision. We will discuss during the talk about the on Tuesday the 17th when we discuss her role more about limitations because we may not have provided some basic tools that she needs to carry these out. The only other thing is just the board met with the Fair Board this morning, and Rick had brought forth a program, the thought that we should have a booth at the fair, the county fair this year. And so look at that face. Okay. But obviously that probably would go on with Leanne's strategy.
Just for accuracy, what I brought forward is a request of the Fair Board to put together a proposal for the board to consider doing something
right.
Like that.
I still think it's going to end up here as a definitely as a task, but coming back to the strategies, that if that goes well, there could be a launch off for maybe our presence at some other activities, Welcome Iowa State, as part of the ISU coming in. You know, they have what's called Welcome Fest.
Mm-hmm.
I participated in years, as a journalist with a booth. So there would be some other opportunities that we could build off of the fair, and so that might go into the strategies.
Okay.
I think your fresh eyes bring us new opportunities. I agree that Rick's proposal this morning, the discussion that we had, was well received. It is one of those things, as the Fair Board has found the means and has the leadership to refresh their facilities and improve them, that you see additional peoples being brought to, not only throughout the county, but from outside the county. And I think that we have a great story to tell, and I think that sometimes we don't take every opportunity to tell it. And I think that you're on to something there, Lars.
Good. So questions, comments, edits to the draft communication plan other than back page?
I would add event activities, booth. I'm having trouble speaking this morning, really. I did not have a stroke or anything this morning. But I would add that we add special events booth.
Well, how about if we, I hope I'm getting to what you're trying to say, but we add enhance display capabilities for events.
I like that. Thank you for saving me.
Okay, so adding enhance display.
So is that one motion?
Yes.
So you're moving consideration of our 17 communication plan with an advanced display capability?
Added in there, yes, and also a substitution of the photo.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, so we've got a motion to adopt the communication plan as presented with the addition of enhanced display capabilities for events and changing the back page as noted on the screen. Discussion?
No.
Olson?
Aye.
Chi?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes with the noted changes. Takes us to the next item, which is discussion and consideration of calendar year 2017 work program for county outreach and special projects manager. How exactly are you going to accomplish the communications plan?
That and some other items. The proposed work program before you was initially presented with my quarterly report in December. It's in the areas that's on the screen, everything from the capital improvements plan on down to miscellaneous items that really didn't fit into anything. I'm going to go through. I'm going to apologize. I think that's blurry on the screen, but you all should have a copy of the draft plan. Are there any questions on the four items under the capital improvement plan? That's how I'm going to approach this. There's four tasks. Applications out, project review, capital draft CIP to the board, develop and publicize CIP story map, which is an ArcGIS product, and then final board action and print distribution.
So questions or comments on capital improvement plan task? Okay, communication plan.
Those you really did just discuss. I do need to add the one that was just discussed with the displays, and which I should have noted that too, as we're going to the Ames Day of the Capitol in March anyway. And that would fit into that nicely. Probably the one that really has budget implications is that publishing our story in the Sun. And that will be something we'll talk about at the budget work session.
I would say county website redesign will have budgetary implications. And so there's a couple in here that for today, if we could, even the ones that have budgetary implications, unless there's a reason they shouldn't be included other than budgetary, we should include them. And then we're going to have the full. Clearly, if we include it but we don't fund it, it's not going to happen. This point is pull something out or let's discuss something if you don't think it should be included.
And the annual report is done. So that one, I'm starting out the year off with something already done.
How about that? Okay, questions or comments on communication plan task as listed?
No. I don't think I went over this.
Okay, cornerstone and capstone comprehensive plan.
These are all the tasks that are immediate or short-term identified in the C2C plan that rest under the responsibility of the Board of Supervisors. So I pulled them into my work program. They aren't necessarily items that I specifically will be bringing together from beginning to end, but items that I would have at least an initial touch at or some discussions with. Great example is the second to last one, the Master Transportation Plan, RFP, Request for Proposals. I would not be involved in overseeing the Master Transportation Plan development, but help engineer's office with that RFP process. There's everything from continuing the tour of the city and the school boards I did with the first round of the C2C plan. Doing that again, I likely look to Jerry and P&D for some staff assistance to do that, because honestly, I don't have the time to go out and do that many meetings again like I did, 20-some meetings like I did the first go-around. It was going from sometimes two or three night meetings, one from another at night. And I think we could spread the wealth if I had a presentation ready to go.
Well, and as we discussed, as the previous board discussed 4 years ago when we created this position, some of these items being on there is not intended to say, Leanne, this is entirely yours to handle, but it is intended to say we need somebody to make sure these things are getting done and that a consistent process is being followed. And so some of them, RFP for Transportation Master Plan, clearly you're not doing the Transportation Master Plan. But if we've got to do an RFP, it makes sense that we have some consistency in how we get those out. Same thing you just mentioned, the possibility of utilizing some P&D staff sourcing for the outreach. It's still your responsibility to make sure that we're doing the outreach we need to do. It's not necessarily your responsibility to physically do all of that outreach. Questions or comments on Cornerstone to Capstone Comprehensive Plan?
I just want to point in the Master Transportation Plan specifically. I talked to Darren, and we are, this time frame is probably not a realistic. We've got a lot of background work to do, all of us, and you know, conversations have to be conducted even to look at whether we're in a place to build on a Master Transportation Plan or whether it's there are other ones already in place that we would
find. So are you suggesting that we amend the proposed timeline? Are you suggesting that we amend the item? Tell me what your thoughts are.
I am suggesting we amend the timeline for now, and I had mentioned it to Leanne, but I think I just mentioned it to her, so we haven't had time to move it. So my comment overall here, as especially in this particular category, I think because so much of it is reliant on other departments and outside influences, that this one will be a moving target on most of these months as far as the time periods where they're likely to occur.
And I would say I agree with that completely, and welcome to government. There's lots of timelines that we lay out. Well, we just saw it from the county attorney today. We, you know, things move. And this, I'm a huge fan of having flexibility, but I like having flexibility from a point of structure. This is intended to give us reasonable structure and to be able to look and make sure that we're not overloading Leanne's work program at any certain point, or we don't expect that we're overloading it at any certain point. So what do you think, Loris, is a reasonable time frame to think that we might be looking at the Master Transportation RFP?
I don't think until the fall.
Okay. Can we put it in there August through December?
Yes. I think that would be more realistic, because then Darren's going to be coming up into the actual construction season.
Okay. So I'm hearing shift Master Transportation RFP from February through, I think that's June, to August through December. Any other questions, comments, or adjustments to the C2C task?
The develop and distribute the business development toolkit. I think that's going to be dependent on also what we're doing related to our other economic development efforts.
Sure.
And so that might be fluid, but I wouldn't know to tell you that we couldn't start in February or March.
Okay. So you're good with it staying like it is, knowing that all of this might adjust.
Right.
The time frame might adjust
right.
On a lot of this.
Right.
Okay, anything else?
Nothing.
All right, Connect Iowa task.
These are items that are specifically identified in the Connect Iowa plan that was adopted by the board or accepted by the board that we finalized a couple of years ago. These are talking about the low-hanging fruit that I work on when I'm downtime. Great ones, vertical assets inventory, a lot of GIS, geographic information system analysis that I've been working on it over several months. These are five specific items that will be finalized this year, and then we can build from that for the Connect Iowa program. Probably the two most exciting ones are the Community Technology Academy and the Technology Summit, and I'd like to work with the Nevada School District on that one. They've done Renewable Energy Summit the past couple of years.
Yeah, so we host that.
And they're going to do a Water Quality Summit this year. And I've already talked to some teachers there that they'd be interested in Technology Summit in the coming year. So definite interest in partnering in the local school district on that, too.
Super. Questions, comments, edits to Connect Iowa Task? Okay. KUCOG. I want to suggest that this may not fit here. It may fit under miscellaneous, but we just took action offering to allow you to assist ISAC with the creation of a KUCOG toolkit. So whether it belongs here or it belongs under miscellaneous, it needs to be added somewhere.
Yeah, I would propose putting it here.
Okay.
These are all specific tasks. They're all under the adopted KUCOG that you dig and need some marching orders to go forward and work forward. So, then this will be revisited come August when it's September when we do the annual review with KUCOG and add some possibly new ones and hopefully here to share success on ones that have accomplished.
I'm viewing it as our report card. How are we doing with what we said we were going to be doing?
Any questions on KUCOG?
None.
Watershed management planning, Keekley Branch Watershed Management Authority formation. Actually, we'll be bringing that to you next week for some feedback on where we are on that. Countywide watershed assessments is on your agenda next. That would just be the RFP and going through that process. And obviously, the two watershed management authorities. I would hope that it's the board's desire to have me continue to go to the Squaw Creek Watershed Management Authority since I have the history. I do believe I might be the only one remaining that was there from day one. That's the aims of a French plan. I just never go away.
Questions, comments, adjustments on watershed?
No.
Floodplain.
Floodplain management and community rating system program now that we are a Class 7 community. In order to continue to achieve that class rating, there are specific outreach tasks that we do need to do on an annual basis. These are built in. There are just simply some things that only I can do, and I can share the information for supervisors because of the federal regulations on repetitive loss, but they have to be done on an annual basis, and that's like the mailer to RPL properties. I mean, there's a reason behind that. So I guess one of the questions is very similar to what I've done in past years and had success with this level of tasks.
We continue to try to get additional staff trained in floodplain management to take a little of this off your plate. Is that right?
Right.
Where do we stand on that? He's not here.
Deb, do you know where Jerry is on floodplain management training?
He went to a training last September, and then he's planning to do certification this fall.
Okay. So it would be nice if we could get an additional staff member certified in this to be able to take some of the workload.
Yeah, at least the permitting review or the review of permits and issuance. Darla helps with the issuance, and that has helped out immensely.
Good.
It really does help.
Questions on floodplain or CRS? Public information officer.
I did work with Melissa Spencer on some specific tasks that would help us take us to that next level. As Deb, Alyssa, and I all perform the PIO duties, but these are primarily in my work program. The biggest budgetary impact one up there is the Joint Information Center, and that is definitely a discussion that the board will have with not only he, but Keith Morgan as well as what that means.
We should underscore those. So this is in the event that the Emergency Management Operations Center becomes activated.
I'm really excited about the fourth task there, the identifying special needs multi-language translation. this is one of those potential projects that I'm hoping we can do this scale, partner with Nevada School District to help provide this type of information. I'm working with a lot of listing projects together, and this is one that's really kind of jumped out at me.
Good questions or comments on PIO. Ms. Lanes.
This is the other thing that pop up from time to time. Probably the bigger changes this year is CECD exam preparation, the Certified Economic Developer exam. I'm eligible to sit for that at any time, but I won't be taking until February next year. Drew and I are kind of in the same time frame to take that. We do have two Red Cross blood drives scheduled this year. Very exciting here, and then over the HSC building. The other one I do not have listed on here that I realized yesterday, this is the Leadership Nevada year. And this is the board's desire to have me continue to act as the county government chair and facilitate that session. We would want to add that, and that would be this fall. Would be the time frame, probably August through December. I think the session will probably be December.
Yeah.
I just have, so they only do it, what, every other year?
Okay,
thank you. I would just assume let's continue our relationship there and your involvement with that group. Thoughts, questions, comments, other additions to miscellaneous items?
I don't think she's got any more room.
It's a big job. All right, urban rural area.
I have to go back to the slide for those in the audience. It's on the bottom there. Receiving the applications, everything that procedurally we go through with the urban renewal. I will point out, though, that it's likely in February I'm going to be bringing this to the board, the economic development policies, for discussion by the current board on those policies. So the time frame that's out there right now may be adjusted or may not be adjusted. But that's not in here, and I don't know that it's necessary that I add as a task to review. I can add that as a task if you would like me to. But I already had that on my schedule for early February, bring it to you.
Yeah, so I think I would like to get board input on having an afternoon work session dealing specifically with urban renewal. Start from the very beginning, how Story County has gotten here, compare us to other counties, talk about what else is going on with urban renewal areas, specifically within Story County, but around the state, what some of the inherent difficulties are and problems, and talk about what our current policies are and how we utilize it, and start to have the discussion in that work session of, do we want to make amendments to that, what we consider. We talked a little about it this morning,
right,
kind of on a drive-by on this Miracle Aid playground,
right,
but talk about what this board's philosophy, not individually, collectively, is going to be on our policies and procedures. And I don't think I want to do that first as part of a Tuesday morning meeting. I think I want to have a separate work session, and then I wouldn't want to take any final action in a work session, but figure out exactly what we're bringing forward to a Tuesday morning meeting. Thoughts on that?
I think with the new configuration of the board, it would be a nice sounding opportunity to get everybody starting from the same place, trying to go in the same direction, or illuminating places that they'd like a new board to go.
I agree with that, and I think for everyone, as we dig in and work on various areas we've indicated, if we could do that late January, early February.
Yeah, that would be my only other question. How soon would you like to bring this to us?
I think we get, from my perspective, I think late January, early February is a great idea. I think we get through our budget work sessions first. And then in that lull between the end of budget work sessions and actually publishing the budget, we deal with things like this.
Sounds good. So that's another task to add.
Add.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it. And I'll just speak to this. I mean, it's broader than just this urban rural discussion. What has been really eye-opening to me over the last 10 days has been how, without even being aware of it, a board can fall into a form of shorthand. So Paul and Wayne and I worked together, you know, until Paul's death in May, worked together for so long and instituted so many of these things together that the three of us had exactly the same history. We, you know, we all were aware step by step by step how things happened, and so you don't, when you have that, you don't always have the conversation that you need to have every single time because everybody up here is aware of what's going on. And it wasn't something that I had overly considered prior to the two of you joining the board and the reality that I still move in shorthand sometimes, and we need to not do that. We need to go through. The history is important. How we ended up where we ended up, like it or not, is every bit as important as where we ended up, and it gives some context for how we might move forward. So I would ask for that addition under urban renewal. Any other questions or comments on urban renewal? All right, so then I would take a motion to adopt the work program as amended through our discussion.
I would so move.
Second.
Further discussion. Leanne, you do a great job. We're lucky to have you. I don't know how the county did this before we got here, but we're doing a better job with our outreach because of you, so thank you.
I would like to congratulate Leanne. It's not directly county related, but I'd like to congratulate you. You were sworn in as a member of the Nevada School Board last night, right?
Yes, I was sworn in. Thank you.
That's good. You didn't have enough to do anyway.
Yeah, no, that was my thought.
Further discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Next item is discussion and consideration of draft request for proposal, an RFP, for watershed planning and consulting services for development of county-wide scale watershed assessments. So this was an idea that came about 6 months ago or so as we looked at not only Squaw Creek and the watershed authority there, but the addition of Cagley, or at that point, the possible addition of the Cagley branch, and then 4 Mile Creek coming in and the way that Polk County, primarily Polk County and Des Moines, had handled the creation of that. And a few of us got talking about it and said, well, are there any counties that have done countywide, basically countywide, watersheds don't work quite on county boundaries, but basically a countywide look at their watersheds and done a complete assessment, which, just to be clear now, what an assessment does for you is it doesn't solve any problem. What it does is it gives you the starting point to be able to have the conversations about dealing with the real perceived, I think real, or even perceived issues that we have in our watersheds. And so got to look at it. My new favorite term is HUC. Right, so you've got HUC 8s, which would be basically the Skunk River. You've got HUC 10s, which would be Squaw Creek, the Cagley Branch. I want to say that West Indian.
All the colored.
And then you've got HUC 12s, which are smaller streams. So think of things that feed into the Squaw Creek, right? Onion Creek and Clear Creek and a few of those. And the nice part about dividing it up by HUC 12 is you can see, while it doesn't exactly follow county borders, it gets pretty close to following county borders. And then as those feed up into our HUC 10s and ultimately the Skunk River, which is our HUC 8, we have an idea of all the water that's flowing through Story County. So the County Conservation Board dealt with this.
Mm-hmm. And just to build on that, the approach is to do these countywide assessments. Rick said, to the best of my knowledge, as well as Mike and Rick's, no one else is doing this in the state of Iowa. They're doing it possibly on the HUC 10 and HUC 12 watershed level, but a county taking the lead to do this, we definitely would be blazing the trail. HUC 12s do match up pretty nicely with county boundaries, and those are all the bulleted HUC 12s listed. The colored blobs are the actual HUC 10 watersheds. And we specifically pulled out a HUC 10 watershed assessment for West Indian Creek because that's fully within the confines of Story County. So if we did that on a larger HUC 10 watershed, we don't have to worry about the county boundary. The other HUC 12s do cover a little bit outside of county boundaries. If you look on that map up there, the lines are the boundaries of the HUC-12s. And there, I couldn't figure out a way to show you both images that they're even visible. But the labeling and the lines are the different HUC-12 boundaries. The proposal is to do at either the HUC-10, which is West Indian Creek, or the HUC-12 watershed level, three areas, GIS-based analysis and watershed characterization, using a lot of the modeling we did with the Squaw Creek Watershed Management Plan, nutrient loading modeling, and in this case we're a little bit limited because we don't have the same level of detail that we have with Squaw Creek with many years of water quality assessments. So it's a little bit different approach than it was because we don't have that data. And then using the TOMER tool, which is a tool from Iowa. TOMER is an Iowa State professor. Implementation strategies using that to be identifying hotspots and then best management practices that the board or a watershed management authority or whatever could use to then to target in where the improvements could be located to get the best impact. So the time frame, actually, from the time I put this on the agenda until yesterday, I realized we needed to modify the time frame just a little bit. I want the county attorney's office to get one last look at it because we do have a couple changes, specifically time frame related. And then we want to, based on the conservation board meeting last night, add a requirement for a pre-submittal meeting with potential vendors.
And let's talk about that for just a minute. So the Conservation Board had a requirement of attendance at a pre-submittal meeting for anybody wanting to submit a proposal dealing with the research park. They did not have the requirement for Bacon's Lake, but they had the meeting, and they found it to be really beneficial, which is why it led to being a required part of the RFP for the research park. And in conversations last night, the Conservation Board said it would be a shame if we didn't have a component like that in this RFP. Gives everybody a chance to hear the same thing at the same time and hopefully make a solid proposal based on the realities.
Based on that, and then just another week for the county attorney's office to review it, we would ask that you consider it today, directing staff to go forth, and we'll bring it back for consent for ultimate approval next week and release it next Tuesday. Proposals will still be due, though, in contract selection in early March, and then hopefully by end of March, effective date of contract up and going. This is not budgeted, and it's not any of the requests at this point, so that would be something for you all if you approve today.
Initial estimate says what will this cost?
Anywhere from $75,000 to $100,000. One contractor had an estimate of $90,000 to $100,000 over a three-year period if we prioritized different watersheds. I would like to take the approach that we do at one time so that we're able to kind of go forth.
Well, a lot of this is desktop work, right? We're not asking somebody to come in and spend a whole lot of time down in the streams walking through them. It's doing desktop with GIS. Are there economies of scale there if we're doing it all at once instead of breaking it up over multiple years?
I really do believe there. If you have the ability to have the technical staff sitting there working on it, that watershed boundary, once it stops, you're ultimately going to be running the modeling to the one next door, too, to see if they're in comparison. So there is definite economy of scale in that aspect. Conservation Board did recommend or approve it with the modifications or the schedule changes that are on the screen there in red and the requirement for pre-submittal meeting.
Questions or comments for Leanne?
Oh, no, I had this, too. The proposal has several evaluation criteria.
Mm-hmm.
I'm greatly appreciative to Mike Cox for really helping me craft this RFP and add these evaluation criteria in and weightings so we have an opportunity to really evaluate the proposals on a solid approach. And with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Questions or comments? Thoughts?
It's exciting to think that they would take the lead in this, to take the lead in water quality from a different direction in the state, actually figure out what's going on, use some scientific method
involved here. So I am excited about this project.
It's unfortunate you don't have the ability to, on the nutrient loading portion component, which I would think would be a big, you know, unknown, that we don't, we're acknowledging up front, we don't have the ability to monitor the way that we would like to do that. So I think whatever data we do derive will still be missing a pretty substantial component in that sense. A lot of dollars.
Yeah, but necessary.
You got to start somewhere, right? If you accept that without assigning any blame to any one group or anybody else, if you accept that we have impaired waterways, I know that one of the things I didn't grow up in Iowa, but I know one of the things that I loved to do growing up was get down in the streams and chase fish and catch crawfish and all that. And I happen to own property that includes Clear Creek. And my kids are too old for this now, but someday I might have grandkids, and I don't know that I'd be comfortable with them right now, knowing what we know, getting down in the streams. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out overnight. There aren't any easy solutions, but it seems to be completely reasonable that we, as Laura says, would take the lead, as Story County has done for years and years and years in lots of different issues, in starting to get us to the start line. And that's all we're talking about doing, right? We're not talking about getting into the race or anything else. We're talking about just getting to the starting line. This is the step that gets us to the starting line and allows us to have those conversations. And so I'm excited to see. Clearly it has budgetary implications. It's unbudgeted funds at this point that we're going to have to talk about. That's that $75,000 that Morris and I have tucked away right down here. And we've got to see what the RFPs would come back at if, in fact, we're good with this timeline.
Worthy to push this along. I look forward to seeing the costing, and I also look forward to finding where to find money.
Good. So did we have a motion or did we not?
I so move that we accept this and have the proposal RFP put out.
It'll come to us next week to finalize. So what we're approving today is the timeline and the concept.
That we approve the timeline and the concept.
For this RFP. Yes. I would second that.
Further discussion?
Aye.
Chitty. Aye. Sanders. Aye. Passes. You're going to put it on consent for next week, or we're going to talk about it again next week?
I was intending to put it on consent.
Yeah, let's put it on consent, and then if anybody wants to pull it, we can pull it. Yeah, the only thing I'm expecting to see different is I'm expecting to see the required meeting.
And the time frame.
And the time frame. Okay.
Thank
good.
You.
Thank you, Leanne.
Thanks, Leanne. Next.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm good. Alyssa.
All right, we've got discussion and consideration of distracted driving policy. Nobody would ever do that. People aren't texting and stuff on this when they're driving, are they, Alyssa?
Unfortunately, unless we at work. But I have this policy in the next one before we start discussing this. I do want to let the board know that these two policies were both recommendations from our liability insurance company. So they would like to see the board take a look at this and implement these two policies that are on your agenda, if possible. So the first one is the distracted driving policy. I'm not going to go through, obviously I don't read through this. It was on the agenda for everybody to review. I did look at some county policies. I looked at, we have some resources on our insurance. They provide sample policies. I looked at OSHA's sample policy. So that's where we kind of got some of the information that we put in here. Under prohibitions, there is a list of what's to be used as a guideline. Obviously, that's not an all-exclusive list. We want employees, whether they're driving county vehicles or driving their own on county business, to concentrate on what they're doing, which is driving, and be cognizant of what's going on around them. So, do any of you have any questions?
So for the board, if we were to adopt this, or if we were to make amendments and adopt this, it would undergo a 7-day review and come back to us in a week after staff has time to comment.
Correct.
And I'm sure we're going to hear that, nobody ever drives distracted. It just never, ever happens.
Oh, I would not say that. In fact, when I read it last night, I eked. My husband said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Well, I wonder if putting on makeup includes stoplights." I'm sure it does. My only question, though, is the use of the radio or stereo headphones. That might be a little unclear to a lot of people. Are we talking the actual phones themselves or earbuds?
I mean, you're not supposed to have earbuds or headphones.
Anything you want away from your driving.
Right. Yes. Then I might put in headphones or earbuds, okay. You know, because to me they're different as far as ambient noise being able to come in. But other than that.
Okay, so I heard add earbuds or earbuds after headphones.
Right.
Okay. Anything else? Any thoughts? I take a motion.
I'll move that we adopt this and put it out for 7-day review.
I second that.
Motion in the second with the amendment of addition of earbuds.
Yes.
Motion in the second. Further discussion. Olson.
Aye.
Cheney.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We'll look forward to come back to us in a week.
Okay.
All right. Next item is we're talking about having driver's license and insurance coverage.
Verification.
Okay.
Currently, we have a couple departments that check the CDL licenses annually to make sure that those that are operating equipment for the county do have valid licenses. Another recommendation, we do have this in our handbook. When an employee drives a personal vehicle, it's their insurance that covers if they're in an accident. Our insurance is only picks up and actually covers the county. It doesn't cover the employee if they're in their own vehicle. So for some reason, the county would, for instance, if we have an employee, if I'm in an accident in my own vehicle, my insurance coverage, you know, they pay out or whatever, but the person that I hit could sue the county. Our insurance would then come in and cover the county, would not cover me personally.
So we had a former elected official a couple of years ago who had a wreck in their personal car, but they were on county business when they had the wreck. So you're telling me that their insurance picked up that portion, but the county still had to pick up what was over and above that?
Yeah, if whoever they hit or whatever decides to file a claim against the county, which they have that, I mean, I assume they have that possibility if they don't get enough out of the individual's insurance.
So what does this do for us that our current policy doesn't?
Well, what we do now is we have the language in our handbook that says employees have to carry, if you look down in there, the coverage amounts. Those are not changed. Those are current policy. That's what we require. What this does is it gives us the policy or the means to verify that. It kind of gives us the framework of how we're going to do that, which is what the insurance company wants us to do. If we're going to allow an employee to drive their personal vehicle, number one, we should make sure they have a valid driver's license. And number two, they have to have insurance on it, which, so it is just that procedure of checking that on a regular basis.
Is this something your office is going to do the vesting on in regards to insurance and licensure?
Yeah, actually, I put in here, I'm going to pass this out. I did send this to a couple different people, and I talked to Beth Childress, and she handles the liability insurance to make sure the policy would address ICAS recommendation. And there is a little bit of change on the bottom of it that I want you to take into consideration today. I'll go ahead and get that passed out, and then we can talk about who's going to handle that in just a second.
So you're saying when I drive over to Cove for an economic development meeting later this afternoon, I'm going to have to show you some proof of insurance and my license?
Question. Yes.
Well, actually, that was my question. How are elected officials impacted with this? Do you want copies of our insurance?
Yep. Okay, so let's cover a couple things. As far as the actual driver's license check, there can be more of a visual inspection, which is verifying if you have an employee that you're going to have drive a county vehicle, they can show you their driver's license. If they have a suspended license, they would have had to turn in and get some other information. A formal Department of Motor Vehicle, a DMV check, that's what Conservation and Secondary Roads currently does on an annual basis. You have an agreement with this, and then one person goes in and runs it. You have to have a valid reason. You have to state where those, you know, where the records are kept and different things like that. So there are some checks and balances. The way the policy is drafted is that it is either checked by HR or the specific person within the department. you know, if the sheriff's office wants to do their own verifications, then they designate somebody to do that, and then they notify us if there's any issues. HR is happy to handle all the departments if that's how they want it done, but I know we do have a couple departments that already have procedures in place, so I did draft a policy to kind of allow that, to let them keep moving forward and doing it how they're doing. As far as the insurance verification, down at the bottom, you know, our current handbook says that the elected officials and department heads are responsible, but it doesn't tell them how often, what they're supposed to do. So the language in here is that they would be responsible for tracking it. So, I mean, HR doesn't know when employees are going to go out and do, you know, drive or county business training or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We're not notified every time. So we do ask that the elected official of the department would be responsible for that. It's going to be as simple as they, you know, once they verify that, if they keep track of when that expires, then just request that documentation again. That documentation, as drafted in this policy, will be kept in their personnel file in HR. So, and I'm sure when we send this out for 7-day review, we'll get some comments back.
Yeah.
Questions, comments, suggestions. Cool.
I have no doubt.
Okay, thoughts? If no thoughts, action.
Logistically, I can see where this could be a bit of a sticky pushback. In fact, you know, once again, I'd just like to know who's responsible for keeping us current, you know, because we do take it on a trust basis that as we step out in our capacity and other officials step out in their capacity, they've done what we're proposing to adopt. So, you know, trust. Reagan said it best, trust but verify.
And I think that's what our insurance company is asking us to do, go from just the trust point to the trust and then verify.
And we made our due diligence as far as trying to check. I mean, we can't check every time. You know, somebody drives 2 or 3 times a week.
The issue for employees is going to be if this is policy and you don't do it and there's a problem, now there's potential ramifications coming back based on
policy. And it is stated in our policy. They're to notify us if they have any suspended license or any type of action. And if they don't have insurance anymore, we also state in there they're supposed to let us know. But this is just that double check.
Well, with that, I would move consideration of a driver's license and insurance coverage verification policy for 7-day review, bringing this back before the board on the 17th.
We noted that there's a change.
And noting the change as listed.
I second.
Further discussion? Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes pending 7-day review. Thanks, Alyssa.
Thank you.
No agency reports, departmental reports, planning and development quarterly report. Gary. All right. You haven't been busy at all. How's the search going for a new employee?
Pardon me?
How's the search going for a new employee?
We have one. I'm going to report on that.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I won't steal your
time. That's good news for you. Okay. We're focusing on the fourth quarter, October through December 2016. This first slide is the zoning permits. Again, the comparison is from the previous 2 years. Just the fourth quarter. Total numbers exceeded the previous 2 years. The biggest category, which is usually the case, is single-family homes and accessory structures, followed by miscellaneous, which we've had some commercial buildings built. Key Co-op, Martin Marietta is building an employee building. Valuation of construction, up from the previous year's fourth quarter, down slightly from the 2014 fourth quarter. It's about $200,000, and it's, the valuation exceeded the 2016 for the 2014 year. But again, single-family homes is the largest category there. Average value per zoning permit compared, again, for the 3 years, just edged out 2015, also just a slight increase from 2014. Property research, E911 addressing home business permits. The addresses were the largest category. Again, these are assigned, new assigned or replaced. followed by total home business permits issued and renewed. A lot of those are renewals. And then third category there is development review cases. Development review cases compared, again, ordinances, tax amendments, some of the things that you saw today with the C2C amendments, solar energy, the YSS tax amendment, special events. And then all of the activities that we do, or most of the activities, development cases, permits, exceeded the previous 2 years' fourth quarter.
Combined,
correct. Little bit of update. The West Ames Trinitas housing project. Did find out this morning that the city of Gilbert did approve the resolution for the text in the map amendment. I was hoping to get a little more information from the city as far as where they're at on that project. Did not. East Industrial Expansion, that's going to the City Development Board. They're hoping to have an answer by the end of March. Something new that's going to be before you real soon, the 24th of this month, is a proposed annexation. It's a 68-acre parcel just north Ames, contiguous to the city limits. It will include four non-consenting property owners, which are located on the east side of Hyde.
Changed their addresses a month ago.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, Urban Services Area, subcategory urban residential, so it is prime for annexation. Through this process, though, they're going to create a minor division so as not to landlock the parcel to the north, which the intent is that that parcel, along with some railroad right-of-way to the west and the golf course, will come into being annexed. They don't have a time frame that that's on the horizon. So this will be before their P&Z, the 18th of this month, City Council, February 14th. And again, we're hoping to have it before the board on the 24th.
So ultimately, the only ground south of 190th between George Washington Carver and US 69 that's not going to be in Ames is the Oak subdivision and that little subdivision right there to the west of the Oaks, right? Everything else will end up.
I should have brought a map, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but I mean, basically,
there's a little pocket there, and in very short time, that's going to be next to the city.
Okay. Wow.
Is the Oaks the one that Chuck Winterblatt owns that used to be the
lodge.
Right? That used to be the
Oaks
nine hole.
We had a few complaints. We're still working, spinning the plates on these. One, Gary owned the property at the intersection of 580th and Lincoln Highway. The complaint was that he was running a gym, like a commercial gym, out of one of the accessory buildings there. In looking into it, one of his tenants actually did set up a pretty nice gym that he was making accommodations for his friends and Army buddies. And then just recently found out that he was in the business, the physical fitness business in this area. He's looking at a property in Ames to do a commercial place, but the owner has told us that he would like to do something for the tenants, offer like a workout place for the tenants. And so there's a vehicle for that, which would be the insignificant modification to the CUP, which can be reviewed administratively. So waiting for some information from him. We had a complaint at 56776 241st Street, south of 30th, Highway 30. David Carter, immunology for veterinary practitioners, that he was keeping chickens in the mini storage units. He's got an office on the north part of that site, which is just on the south side of the street. But there
were an industrial park at the corner of I-35 and 30.
Southeast corner of the intersection.
Yep.
Interchange.
Okay.
It's zoned commercial, light industrial. Again, had he had the chickens in the same building where his office was, it would probably work under the zoning regulations, but it's separate. There's probably over 200 chickens that are in these mini storage units. We received a call a day after
Christmas, and he's trying to find a property in an A1, A2 district that can accommodate the chickens, and couldn't find anything. He wanted to euthanize them, and so we're trying to work with him so that that doesn't happen. And he's got until, I think, next week to get back to us. But, again, if he finds a location in the A1, A2 district, that would meet our requirements.
And then tell me what he's been doing. So has he been studying these chickens?
He's doing some research, using eggs, trying to help the livelihood of, I think, hogs. I don't have a lot of detail, but he needs to produce eggs. He used to buy the eggs from an outside source and then decided that he wanted to raise the chickens, to produce the eggs for his research that he's doing.
So he's turned a mini storage unit into a chicken coop.
Yeah. There's like two different locations there.
Yep.
And
Have we notified Animal Control about that?
They were involved in it. They received the call first and then they
Thank you.
Mike Petzenhauser on 150th Street, he applied for a permit to build a new house. There's an existing dwelling. Part of the issue with that is he raises sheep. There's water source in this old dwelling, and it's a timing issue. But he was supposed to have it addressed by the 14th, we issued an NOV in person. Through our process, if he submits like a schedule, compliance schedule, we can work with him. And so he's got until the 16th to submit a compliance schedule. Otherwise, we'll be going to court on that one. South Duff, I think at our work session, we discussed that. They're doing some extraction. Property, it's Southeast Ames, west side of Highway 69. They're doing some extraction for a project inside the city of Ames. Nothing really against our current requirements, but they were bringing in trees from other projects, and whole trees. And so we're waiting back because it's where they were keeping the piles of dirt and the trees. It's close to the floodplain, so we asked them to submit some information from a land surveyor, and so we're waiting for that information to analyze it. And again, it may be that it might be a CUP on the processing of the trees if they decide to do it at that site.
And that's just east of the Ames Airport?
Correct.
Okay.
And they wanted to burn the trees, and they're not permitted to do that because they brought in the materials from another location or other locations. To your question, we did do interviews, and I'm happy to say that Amelia Schoenemann was hired for the position. She's working on her graduate degree in planning from Iowa State. She's to graduate in May. And so she's going to start part-time 24 hours February 1 and then full-time May 8th. I did remind her that after she graduates, it's full-time. And she is very excited.
You're not giving her a break between graduation and getting going full-time?
She's ready to work. Wanted to work this week, so
I've always been impressed with Amelia. Congratulations, that sounds like a good hire. Questions for Jerry?
One last thing, Rick. I've got the work program 2017. It was before the P&Z on the 4th, and just asking for a motion to support the work program. We've got 7 things that were carried over from 2016. Half of those are in the works. We've got a few of those that we're working on before we can get them to the P&Z and before the board. And then the second page is really C2C implementation things with the addition of grading permits.
These weren't in the packet.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to hold approval on those two. Here's what I would ask. Put both of them on consent agenda for next week.
Okay.
If somebody wants to pull them, they can pull them, but that sure gives us all an opportunity to review it. Any questions for Jerry about his report, and we'll get the two action items on next week's agenda.
I appreciate the help his office has provided. You have citizens visit you, and you will find that in case, and they have issues. And I have found his office to be competently and capably staffed, and I enjoy even the hardships that we've had to face together. That I would have to say, we have people out there that were at least knowledgeably informed in a way that they realized that what was ultimately rendered up was well reasoned, and that's the mark of somebody that knows what they're doing. That would be Jerry and his department.
Yeah, nobody likes to be told they're not allowed to do something, and a lot of the time your life feels like you're telling people what they're not allowed to do. But as a society, as a community, we've got to have consistent rules and regulations that we put forward. You guys do a great job administering those. Or anything?
You're talking about to Jerry?
Yeah, or we'll move on to other stuff here in a minute.
Okay. I just want to thank you when you came out last week and helped walk me through a couple of ordinances. Thank you.
All right, good. Thanks, Jerry. No other reports. Public forum number two is an opportunity for members of the public to address topics that are not on today's agenda. The board can't take any action right now due to the open meetings law, but we can do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address us on any topic? Got nothing? All right. Liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Laura.
I toured the animal control building on Friday. That was Friday, right? There was one architect who showed up to go to the mandatory tour before submitting information for the RFP. And I want to congratulate Stu McCaskey. I know they knew we were coming, so they made an effort to clean, but I was very, very impressed. There is not a smell in animal control. So I was very impressed with the cleanliness of it, and I think we discussed more about that during the CIP session and then the animal control work session to figure out how that's going to be fixed and renovated. It'll be conversations we'll need to have. Today, I have a conflict between the assessor's mini board in Ames and the DHS meeting, so I will not be at the DHS budget work session. I'm attending the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau annual meeting on Thursday evening, so I will not be able to attend the Boost meeting, the Story County Transportation Collaboration meets tomorrow afternoon, which I intended to attend, but it's at 1 o'clock and we have a budget workshop. So I'm looking forward after the workshops of actually going out more in the community and attending some other action committees.
Good. Thank you, Martin.
Letting Granny through the budget, which is so well alluded to, the fact that it is slow going and we find ourselves in a position where our revenues do not match our expected expenditures. So
we'll get there.
Slow going.
Yep.
Have an opportunity to have a meeting over in Colo to discuss further their likelihood of new home construction, what they consider to be their affordable housing project, and Zeering is coming out of the ground with their own version of this. I would compliment both Drew and Leanne for leaning in pretty hard in making success happen in the corners of our county.
Good. I attended conservation last night. Really good meeting. Two things to note. One, the ISU Research Park green space is not the ISU Research Park green space anymore. By unanimous action of the members of the conservation board, it is now named the Tedesco Environmental Learning Corridor, the TILC. So be aware of that. And then there was a resolution passed by the Conservation Board encouraging the City of Ames to adopt watershed management practices to reduce flood risk and improve water quality, and indicating their willingness to work with Ames on anything they do. Everything else was pretty standard. Announcements as reprisers. Loris.
None.
Marty.
Loris alluded to it earlier, but Leanne Harder was sworn in to the Nevada School Board last night, and you can serve a long time on the school board and not have a closed session, but on the first night, she was brought to bear on a student issue that was pretty deep and profound, and she showed leadership from the get. I think that what we see here, she serves not only her the county, but she serves her community. We are well. I can't take my hat off to her enough. Thank you.
Absolutely. We've mentioned the budget a couple times. Initial requests for the budget are, in fact, $2 million more than initial estimates for revenues. That sounds fairly daunting. It's not all that dissimilar to where we've been in previous years as we worked toward a sustainable, ongoing budget. I feel really, really good about where we're headed. I will tell you guys all that these two laugh at me, as previous boards did, when we sit up here and we have a conversation, a $40 million budget, and we have a conversation over $50, and I see people's eyes gloss over when we start talking about $50, it all matters, and it's how we get there. It's how this thing is going to make sense at the end of it. I've really enjoyed and appreciated working with this new board for 10 days. I like the difference in perspectives that we're getting, and I feel really secure that the people of Story County are getting to hear the non-shorthand approach to governance. So that's it for announcements. If there's nothing else, I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.